Good evening. Good evening. All right. I mean, I want to be honest. I think if I had to sit and listen to a sermon tonight, I might fall asleep. I didn't get much sleep last night, and so I'm a little tired, but I mean, I think you all might fall asleep on me tonight. So, no, I'm just teasing. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. I was a little confused. I honestly did not, I print this off early. I didn't really look at it. I know my sermon. And so I was sitting there a few moments ago, and I was looking down. I was like, I've got a page missing, and I could not figure it out. So I pulled out my phone just to, look at my outline on my phone. And I thought, well, no, it's all here. But somehow it's, and I realized that my printer, how it did that, it's never done that before. So to show you that I'm not really good with technology, somehow I have figured out how to print on both sides of the paper. And so I don't know why it did that, but nonetheless, here we are. So I do have it all together. I don't have to look at my phone. I just need to flip a page. Okay, let's talk a little bit. We're continuing our thoughts on foundations for successful relationships. Okay, and we've looked at several things, and this is kind of the last one. And so we want to wrap this up tonight and think a little bit about the relationships we are involved with and how, there are foundational points, foundational pillars that might help us to hold up these relationships in an appropriate way, to be a substantial foundation for the relationships that we are involved with, and so that those relationships will be successful. And I hope that in the course of, looking at some of these verses and some of the thoughts that we have shared, then I really think that maybe it's been beneficial to you. I know it has been for me. For me personally, I want to tell you tonight's lesson is really geared toward me. I mean, this is the one I need the most out of these. Danny, I'll just tell you, you hold that beautiful baby up, and I mean, there no one's going to pay attention. She is so beautiful, and everyone's just smiling, going, ah. And I'm like, okay, what am I preaching on again? I mean, I'm that way too, right? Oh, she is so gorgeous. Okay, there we go. Got that out of the way. So, Danny, when you want to have a good relationship with her, our point tonight is you want to listen, right? Everyone else got that? We want to listen. We must learn to listen. I want to tell you that at times, I would like to pride myself on being a good listener. My wife, however, may tell you that that's not really the case. There are moments when I have had the opportunity to counsel with it. You do not have to take her out. I'm sorry. Get that kid out of here, Messing up the sermon. No, I'm just teasing. I'm really teasing. I hope that y'all know I'm teasing. Now I feel really bad. Not only I don't listen, but I don't know how to act at times either. Okay, let's get back on this. I would say there's moments when I listen really well in counseling opportunities, but then there are moments when I think Christy would be honest with you and say, he didn't listen to a thing I said. And isn't that true? Sometimes we don't listen to understand at times, do we? We listen to respond, right? And we do that religiously with people. It's not just in relationships. When we're talking about what we believe and why we believe it, the Bible says give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that you have within you, right? And sometimes when we're having those discussions about what we believe and why, we're not really listening to the other side. We're letting them talk, and we're listening long enough so we can respond again. But understand where they're coming from. And it's not just in religious discussions. It's true certainly at home. It's true with our friends. It's true with family. We need to be good listeners. I, first and foremost, at moments in my life, am not a good listener. That is a confession. But I know that I need to be better. I know that we all need to be better if we're going to have successful relationships. It's just part of the plan. What do you love most about God? Now, if I were to ask you to respond to that question, there are a lot of answers you would give, right? There are things that Brent mentioned in the prayer. We're thankful that Jesus gave us grace when we didn't deserve it. How many of you are thankful that God gives grace, right? I mean, we could go through this list And there's a lot that we could be thankful for that would be obvious, right? Do you really love the fact that one of the things about God that is so true is that He is a good listener? That God listens? I mean, when you're making your list of what you love, the reasons you love God, is that even on your list? Or do we even think about that? But notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord, now get this, because He listens to my prayers for help. I mean, why would we even pray if God did not listen? Right? There would be no real reason. But God listens to us. He takes in what we share from our hearts. What a great example we have in God. As we follow God, we need to follow His example of listening. God is a great listener. We as well need to be good listeners. But you know, the Bible speaks to the opposite side of that, doesn't it? The Bible says that people who don't listen, now there's a lot of trouble that's coming. In Proverbs 18, verse 3, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. A person who does not listen and answers without listening, God says that's not all that smart. As a matter of fact, it's a detriment to your well-being. So what we must do is we must learn to listen, right? And we know that God is a good listener. Well, number two, what can I do to help? How many of you said that? How many of you, whether it's you've got some friend with some issue, some prayer request, something bad has happened, or maybe something good. We've had the birth of a baby, and I can remember, Danny, you just let me know, what can I do to help? Right? You know, it doesn't have to be an emergency need. Just let me know. Well, oftentimes we say, well, what can I do to help? Well, have you ever thought that one of the greatest blessings, one of the most caring things that you can do is listen? Do we consider that? I remember taking a class called Ministry in the Local Church by an instructor named Stephen Guy. Stephen Guy is a wonderful gospel preacher. And I remember, Christy and I both actually were in this class together. And so we took the class. I remember one of the first few classes that we had with Dr. Guy, and specifically on this ministry in the local church. And basically what he was doing was he was helping us as ministry students learn, you know, about hospital visitation, learning about, you know, visiting a family when someone passes away, or, you know, learning about going to the hospital when someone has a child, or, you know, different things about ministry that happens in a local setting. And so one of the things that I remember him saying, I just remember this, he said, show up and then shut up. And what he meant by that was, when you're dealing with people, when you're helping people, when you're ministering to people, they don't need you to say a whole lot, right? You show up, and then I know that sounds, one time I used that word at Chisholm Hills, and I don't remember who it was. Someone at Chisholm Hills, a mother, came up to me and said, you know, my child said, Mr. Charles said a bad word tonight. And I said, I did? I missed that somehow, and I'd said the word shut up. That was in the mind of that little child. That was bad. Well, that's not what Dr. Guy wasn't saying, say something bad. He was just saying, listen, you don't have to say anything, right? You know, it kind of rhymed. It flowed. You know, show up, shut up, right? So don't say a lot. Just listen. People just need to be heard. They need to know we care. They want us to listen, right? They want to listen. They want us to listen to their concerns. They want us to listen to their responses. They want us to listen to their voice. And I think that's one of the best gifts God has given us, is He's given us the ability to listen. Now, we don't tap into that gift a lot, do we? I mean, I want to tell you, I'm a preacher. I don't know if I know very few preachers who don't talk a lot. Most of us talk a whole lot. We think, well, I'm a preacher, people want to hear me, right? It's just the way it goes. And in reality, we probably are the ones that have the hardest time with this, because at times we don't listen as we should. We talk way too much. But I don't think it's just preachers. I think in general we struggle with this. So let's understand that one of the most caring things we can do is we can listen. We feel the need to speak words, right? I need to say something. I've got to say something that will make people better or feel better, or I've got to say something to settle the argument. And that's very dangerous. That's a very dangerous way of thinking. Someone said, listening is an art that requires attention over talent, spirit over ego, others over self. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. As we said a moment ago, they listen with the intent to reply. I want you to tell you something I have never regretted. And I think you're going to say the same thing too. You've never regretted words that you did not say. Isn't that true? I've never regretted words that I did not say. Now, I've regretted words that I spoke, and I'm guilty of saying some difficult things at times. And I've regretted that. But you know, the one thing I've never regretted is words that I did not speak, words that I did not say. And I think there's some wisdom there as we think about what we can do to help, is to just be a good listener. It's one of the most caring things that we can do. And then understand, we're not going to regret things that we don't say. Proverbs 21, verse 23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Proverbs 10, verse 19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I mentioned this not long ago, I think in the beginning of this series. I said one of the most amazing things about Jesus, when we think about all of the amazing things, like I was asking you what you love most about God, well, listening ought to be one of those things we love most about God, but it doesn't really make our list. And so in the same way, when you think about, you know, what's amazing about Jesus? Well, he performed miracles, he raised people from the dead, he purchased our salvation, and we've got this big long list. But do you realize Jesus never sinned with his tongue? That is absolutely amazing. Not one time did he say a word that put him in a sinful situation, that put him where he was a sinner as a result of the words that he was speaking. Not one time. And certainly, it's true for us that we need to be careful with our tongues. But there's power, number three, there's power in listening. Okay? There is power in listening. Honestly, God's given us this tremendous gift in listening. Someone said that it's been said that we think 4 to 5 times faster than we talk. Now you think about that. We think 4 to 5 times faster than we talk. Okay? That means if a speaker talks at 120 words per minute, the audience thinks about 500 words a minute. That means I need to be preaching faster, you're going to get it, and the sermon will be shorter, right? Is that how that works? Someone said about Napoleon, the story is told about Napoleon, as he was making plans to invade England, he was told that an American wanted to see him. He said, I can give him 2 minutes. But 2 minutes was not long enough to understand the revolutionary idea of a ship propelled by steam. Had Napoleon had time to listen longer to Robert Fullerton? Does that name ring a bell? The inventor of the steam engine? The history of the world might have been altered. You know, one of the interesting things about the transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 5, if I were to ask you, what do you remember about the transfiguration in Matthew 17? Like, who was there? Who can tell me who was there? Peter, James, and John, right? What happened when Jesus was transfigured before them? Anyone? What happened? Pretty amazing. Jesus was as bright as the sun. What else happened? Little fear, yeah, they didn't know what to do. Should we build tabernacles that we can worship each one? I mean, that fear factor was there. What else? Yes, heroes of faith. What else happened? Yeah, yeah, what else? God spoke to them. What did God say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Very much the same thing as at the baptism. But the difference, Floyd, listen to Him. What does God want us to do more than anything else? Floyd's right. God's saying, listen to my Son. Just take some time and receive instruction. As you read through the Proverbs, you know one of the most amazing things about the Proverbs and also about the Psalms as well. They're written with the emphasis upon receiving instruction, listening to instruction. And there's so much, both in the Psalms and also the Proverbs, about being careful with our tongues. As James says, right? Being careful with our tongues, chapter 3. He doesn't just say it in chapter 1. You know, being careful with our tongues, chapter 3. Because the tongue is a powerful thing and it's a deadly evil, James says. But be careful because there's much wisdom in listening, right? Receiving the instruction. You cannot receive the instruction unless you listen. I love the story about the 80-year-old grandfather. He went to his daughter's house and he was there for Sunday dinner. And when the meal was over, he announced that he was going to take a walk through the neighborhood. And he said, I'll be back in about 10 minutes. And well, it was like 2 hours. He still hadn't returned. And finally, you know, he walks through the door and, you know, he tells his daughter, he says, well, honey, sorry I'm late. He said, I just want you to know, I'm late because, he said, I stopped to talk to an old friend and he just wouldn't stop listening. Now, some of you, my sermons would be shorter if you would just stop listening. No, that's not true. I'm going to preach long regardless, right? No, but I love that. He just wouldn't stop listening. You know, some people are just good listeners, aren't they? They just listen to what people have to say. They know that a caring ear is a gift from God. I love the song. You've probably heard it. Just about words, because again, we feel the need to say words. And some of you may have heard this song entitled Words. And the words of this particular song, as it's the song is written thinking about words, they've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. They've made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been. Also talking about words, they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down. Words can start a fire in your heart or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. You can heal the heartache, speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. And then again, the chorus, words can build you up, words can break you down, start a fire in your heart, or put it out. And then again, let my words be life, let my words be truth. I don't want to say a single word unless it points the world back to you. Words can be beneficial. Words can help. But again, back to this thing that I mentioned a moment ago that, you know, I've never regretted words that I didn't speak, because if we don't say them, there's no regret in them. But the words that we speak at times when we need to be listening, those are the moments and the words that we regret. And words do have great power. I mean, I'm not saying don't speak. There are moments when the voice of truth needs to come forward. But at least for this point, one of the things God wants us to do more than anything else is just be good listeners. And that is a benefit. When you think about your marriage, when you think about your friendships, when you think about your job, when you think about relationships in this particular congregation of God's people, you know, how do you want it to go? Are these foundational points that we've talked about, are they going to be beneficial to you, especially this one on listening? You know, are we going to be the kind of people who listen to God, listen to God's instruction, and know that He's given us two ears and one mouth? I mean, if for nothing else other than illustrative purposes, let's understand that that's a blessing. I mean, could you imagine if we had two mouths? I mean, I've probably been guilty of talking enough as if I did have two mouths, right? But God's given us two ears. Let's use them. Jesus many times condemned the Pharisees because they were unwilling to hear. And he would often say this, "He who has ears, help me out. Let him hear." Why did he say that? First of all, let me just ask, is there anyone here who doesn't have ears tonight? So it wasn't that he was asking the question because people didn't have what he knew they already had. But was he asking because they didn't audibly hear him? He who has ears, let him hear. Let him audibly hear. Or is it this careful listening that takes in instruction so that you can understand what's being said? I think that's more the idea. He who has ears, let him hear. For you and me, let us hear. Let's bow. Father, we want successful relationships. We know the world, we know this community's watching us. If we don't have successful marriages, and if we're not doing the best that we can in the marriages that we have, the world's watching. If we don't function as a spiritual family in a beautiful way, we know this community right here in Fulshear is watching. Father, if we don't listen to your voice and your instruction and become obedient disciples, we know that has an impact on this community. Father, help us to be good listeners. Help us be quick to listen. Let those of us, Father, who have ears, take in your instruction from your word. Father, we know that people have a voice, and they want to be heard, and sometimes they just need to share what's on their heart. Help us to be good listeners. Help us to be the kind of people who are willing to honestly listen and to take in what's being said. Father, we love you, and we are so thankful that you have given us the gift of your beautiful word that we can listen, understand, and live by. And Father, we're thankful to the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, James, who tells us not only to be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to anger. May we heed his words and live better each day. Father, we want successful relationships. We want this group of your people here at Fulshear to be better. And we are thankful for your word, the foundation it provides for our lives, and the blessings that come as a result of obedient servants. We ask all of these blessings and favors in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. You need to respond to the invitation tonight. Know that you, if you are a member of the body of Christ, can do that. Tommy has a song. Dan was this morning. Tommy's tonight. Tommy has a song selected. And as we lead this song, if you feel the need to respond, whether it's as a member to confess your sin or if you need to respond to become a New Testament Christian, we certainly encourage you to do that. As together we stand and as we sing.